With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, Thursday. What's up? Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny, and this is The Fan. It's December 2nd, 2021. We're getting ready for Washington, Las Vegas on Sunday out west. Wizards got a much-needed win thanks to Trez Harrell going off last night. Caps back in action trying to wash away a terrible third period when they play at 7 o'clock tonight. Danny, it's a good time to be a fan of DC sports.
Not too shabby there. Now, listen, Dallas is, I hate them so much, and every Washington fan correctly does. But in terms of tonight, Thursday night football as well, there's nothing really bad for Washington that's going to happen here, right? If Dallas wins, they pretty much got a strong stranglehold, if I could say that, on the division. Not a weak stranglehold, a good strong stranglehold. The math doesn't really work out for Washington. Even if they beat them a couple times, it's still really hard. Well, one of their competitors for the wild card, New Orleans, will have lost. If New Orleans wins, yes, they're that much closer in the wild card, but oh, Dallas is very catchable. Come division time, really amounts to Washington handling their business. They got a great chance of being in by virtue of these three wins that they've had, all NFC Ws. But just enjoy Thursday night football, root against the Cowboys, but take some solace in the fact that there are nothing but good outcomes for Washington.
Comparatively, though, if you're wondering what should I be rooting for tonight as a fan of the football team, you would like Dallas to lose.
It's just more fun.
Not only that, if they lose, the division is suddenly up for grabs. Now they play Washington this coming week.
Oh, would you look at that?
And if the football team beats them and their free fall continues, I mean, you are knocking on the door of getting even in the division and being tiebreaker friendly. So obviously it's better for them if the Saints win tonight. But to your point, let's say the Cowboys beat the Saints. It's still beneficial in the wild card chase. So one way or the other, they will be better off in terms of playoff positioning based on the outcome. But the priority should still be team in your division loses over team in your conference loses.
No, you're making good sense there. But I'm remiss if we go a few more minutes without congratulating you, Darris and Ryan, and all of our listeners in the sports radio audience. We got here. We're in the lockout. Major League Baseball lockout, guys. Isn't that exciting?
We did it.
Nobody loves anything more than sports fans who pay a lot of money to watch athletes play the sport at the highest possible level. Nothing makes them more excited and feeling appreciated than having labor strife. Oh, it's just the best. It is so delightful. So congrats to all the owners. Congrats to the players, too. Congrats to the commissioner. We did it, man. Two straight years. Oh, it's just so much fun. There was a really nasty fight last year in 2020 during the COVID year. That was kind of a nice little preamble. That was a nice little appetizer just to get our appetite wet. But now we got the full thing. Oh, I love lockouts. Are the Nationals going to sign anybody? No. You know who else isn't? Everybody. No business can take place. Congrats, baseball. You did it.
But that's the good news, is that now all the other teams will join the Nationals in their inactivity.
They're just nationaling.
And their lack of movement. And it'll just be that we're one of all the teams, and the Nats can say, well, of course we can't sign anybody. There's a lockout happening, guys. We're not supposed to be doing anything. Yeah, it's annoying. And we knew this was coming for a long time. All I care about is that games get played starting on opening day. If that happens, this is just business, and it won't matter to me that much. If when the final day of March on my calendar comes, and I'm supposed to go watch a baseball game at the ballpark, and I'm able to waddle over there and eat some chicken tenders and do that, nothing matters. But do not miss any games.
Don't you miss them.
Do not even think about missing games. Don't miss spring training. Don't miss spring training games. When you're supposed to report to West Palm Beach, Florida, you better report to West Palm Beach, Florida and start doing baseball things. And then it'll be fun because everyone's going to be putting 15 pounds into an 8-pound bag to try to finish off the offseason, signing players, trading players. There's going to be a ton of movement. There's going to be new rules to work through. We're going to find out the DH is coming to the National League. It's going to be a really good time for baseball. But you better be on the field at the start of spring training.
One of the downsides of being very active online and being a very Twitter-type guy, I'm at Funny Danny Grant at Grant H. Paulson. I follow all the beat reporters for the various sports, right? Sometimes when something happens, 19 people right in a row will tweet the exact same thing. I'm telling you this, and that can be slightly annoying, but it's a small price to pay for the information. Here's what I need. I need all the assembled national reporters to be able to tweet February 6th. Guess who showed up early? It's Kiber Ruiz. Guess who's here right now? Josiah Gray is working out. I need to have my timeline filled. Don't you dare miss a single second. Don't you dare prevent those ballplayers from showing up to the ballpark to start preparation for the season. That's my only caveat. It's my only warning.
I will sign on to those terms.
Mm-hmm.
I'll co-sign that. In 1996, 2 years after baseball last missed a bunch of games, didn't have a World Series, oh, by the way, in 1994. Cal Ripken Jr.'s consecutive games streak largely saved the sport. It made me the baseball fan I am. Really, two things did, but that was the first of them. But people like my dad, who had given up on baseball because the greedy millionaires were fighting the greedy billionaires, which is happening all over again. And that's a simplistic way to put it, but that's how I think a lot of fans who go to these games see this. He was out, and a lot of people were out. Well, Ripken Jr.'s streak brought him back. There's no Cal Ripken Jr. streak going on right now. There is no Cal Ripken Jr. to save the sport. In 1998, there was a home run chase between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa that quite literally, with Ripken, I think, saved baseball. And, I'll go even further, made it more popular than it had ever been before, made it a national nightly news story, brought new fans into the game.
The
as we know now, fraudulent power and the crazy home run totals and the wacky things offensively we'd never seen. Owners all knew what was going on. Major League Baseball knew what was going on. They didn't care because they were all counting their dollar bills and upping their demands of TV companies to air the games. Now, after the fact, retroactively, they go back and they get angry at those players and say they can't be in the Hall of Fame, even though they built the damn sport into what it is. But like, that 98 home run chase, Danny, was a savior. We got great things going on in baseball right now, including three blocks away at Nats Park, where Juan Soto is one of the best superstars in the game and one of the best players we've seen in generations. There is no home run chase coming.
Mm-mm-mm.
They better understand that if they miss games, that they will lose people forever. I don't know that they're in a position to do that right now. I don't know that there's enough momentum as a sport in the big picture, certainly with young people who have a quick trigger to move on to something else. Get this together, people.
You're already reeling as it is.
Yeah.
If everything is great, the arrow is not trending in the right direction.
Totally.
Add that in, and everything you just said, I triple stamp the double stamp, Lloyd. You again, it's nobody's, none of my kids and any of the kids that are their age in the playgroup, there's one guy I know out of dozens and dozens of kids where baseball is his favorite sport. Not only because he's really good at it, but because he loves the Nationals. This is just an anecdotal sample. Of hundreds of kids, not one of them is night in, night out. Like, open up the newspaper like I used to. Who won last night when I had to go to bed and I couldn't watch the end on home team sports? Who got base hits? Who came in
Michael
relief?
Michael Regei was on the call.
Yeah, what
Track.
Did they do?
Wall. See you later.
Nobody's doing that. You're losing generation upon generation of kids and young people. You can't have it. Not even for a single second. You just can't have it.
I hope they understand what's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do, and I think they'll get this right and get it together and do so pretty quickly. But in the meantime, you know, the Nats can't sign a random reliever. So I'm fine with it if this drags on for a few weeks through the holidays into January or something. Whatever. But when pitchers and catchers are supposed to report, they better report. All right, let's play a little Survivor. We normally do this on Tuesday. There was a Monday Night Football game that threw us into a wacky tailspin. So we're doing this on Thursday. Washington Football Team Survivors. Different day, same game. Go to Facebook.com/Grant and Danny and vote a player off the island and elect a player immune. You give them immunity, meaning no matter how bad it gets for them, no matter how poor the performance is, come Sunday in Las Vegas, they cannot be eliminated next week. Here's how you know we're getting deep into the season, Danny. And then there were eight. We started with 18 players. 10 have been bounced. There are just four remaining. Your remaining eight Washington football teamers. Antonio Gibson coming off of a career day at running back. Terry McLaurin already immune. He can't get immunity a second straight week. Left tackle Charles Leno and right tackle Sam Cosmi.
Might be his time.
He's not playing.
DNP, yeah.
He's hurt again. You know how I feel. I always lean toward booting off players who aren't healthy. Sorry about that. You can't win the game in the tub. Than players who are playing badly, because at least you're giving me something. On defense, four guys remaining. John Allen and Daron Payne on the interior. Cole Holcomb in the linebacking core. And Kendall Fuller in the nickel and out wide at cornerback. Quietly. I mean, we never really talk about him. One of the last eight players remaining. And, of course, it was Kendall Fuller who picked off Russell Wilson's attempted two-point conversion to seal the win 17-15 over Seattle.
I don't think Fuller's been in the top three or the bottom three once this year. I think
he's just coasting.
He's just around. He's just around. That's how you play the game.
Does he have an alliance? Has he bonded with anybody?
He's got an alliance with Daron Payne.
Is that what's happening? They're like, hey, if we just both stay quiet here, we can be two of the last five, and maybe I'll mess around and have a three-pick game. Next thing you know, I knock off one of the favorites. John Allen goes home. So that's your list. Gibson, McLaurin, Leno, Cosmi, Allen, Payne, Holcomb, and Fuller. You are sending somebody home. You are giving somebody immunity. Danny, why don't you cast our first vote today?
I'm going to do it right now.
For immunity, who's safe?
Antonio Gibson. Career day. Was the bell cow. He was physical. A couple spin moves. Hit that circle button on Madden. He was very, very good. And he didn't fumble. He was one of those guys that was in danger over the last couple weeks because of the fumbles. I thought he had a great game. It didn't translate into a couple scores. Those are McKissick's touchdowns. But I thought Gibson was very good, so he gets my vote.
You know what I like to do? I like to cancel out your vote.
You like to mix it up, yeah.
People decide. So I'm going to go with Kendall Fuller based on saving the day at the end of the game on the two-point conversion. If he doesn't pick off that pass, let's say he misplays it, mistimes it, slips and falls. Old Russell Wilson, after a pretty dreadful performance, leads the boys down the field. We're going to overtime. I wouldn't have liked the chances after that momentum shift and collapse. Kendall Fuller on one snap, although he had a couple other pretty good ones, I thought, in the game, will get immunity from me. I will vote Sam Cosmi off the island. It's not personal. I like your future, big fella. I think you can play right tackle at a high level. It looks like they made a good pick when they took you in the second round out of Texas. Hook 'em horns, Sam Cosmi. Danny, where you at? Hook 'em horns.
Horns are up.
You didn't give me the horns at first.
I didn't at first. I didn't know I had to.
Okay, but now you know.
Now I know. My horns are up.
Hook 'em horns.
Horns.
Darius. Hook 'em. Thank you. No one's doing the hook 'em horns.
Yeah. It's
what's happening?
It's
here?
A pretty tired bit. They, yeah. Haven't gone to a game there.
Hook 'em horns.
And anytime anything happens.
Anybody? Darius?
Like, it's like, do you want a beer? Like, the guy hooks the horns. Like, you want a hot dog? No, horns.
I got a bit for us in studio.
Yeah.
Every time anyone ever mentions Sam Cosmi, I want the four of us to hook 'em horns at each other. We don't even have to mention it. You just got to go horns up.
Do you guys agree to the terms?
Do you like this bit?
Very well.
Or do you want to audibly say hook 'em horns every time someone says it? Like, it just a caller brings up, like, when are they getting Cosmi back? Hook 'em horns. He could be back in 2 weeks. What do we think?
I want to say it.
You want to say it and
yeah,
do it?
I want to say it and do it.
Okay.
I want to say it because it becomes a chore. And then if you forget, everyone, like, yells at you.
Right,
like, Ron
right,
Rivera
right.
yelled at J.P. Finley about surgery.
After surgery.
Yeah.
You forgot that part.
Well, actually had surgery.
So I'm voting Sam Cosmi off.
Hook 'em horns. I, too, as it was tough for me to pick. There's a number of guys that haven't been playing great lately, but Sam Cosmi, hook 'em horns, didn't play this past game, so I've got to vote off Sam Cosmi, hook 'em horns.
All right. I'll vote Sam Cosmi off hook 'em horns as well. So that's two votes. He's going in the wrong direction.
Two votes for who?
Here. Sam Cosmi, hook 'em horns. Votes are coming in already, fast and furious, Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Now, Darius, The last time we did this, how many votes did we end up getting? Because we're trying to break that record. So I'm just curious, do you remember the vote count last time we did this? It was unbelievably high. And my hope is each week we kind of build. I want this to be linear.
Ryan's saying 223,000. No. I'll go ahead and double check on
right?
that. I'll double check on that.
That's like every person listening. That's amazing, yeah, the response.
Pretty phenomenal. Which, thank you guys. Thank you all the listeners.
Yeah, all the fans across the
very
world.
Thankful.
It's like a TRL total.
I'm flattered, you know, because here I am wondering how many people have on yesterday on Instagram, everyone's posting like the podcast they listen to most. Because Spotify's spitting out all your year-end totals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, I hope some people have some Grant and Danny podcast pictures, right? And yet here we are with 223,000 votes on Facebook. That's equally as flattering.
What's crazy about seeing all those Spotify rap lists, none of the attractive girls that post themselves in bikinis a lot had us in their top five Spotify rap thing.
Why not?
I don't know. I thought there'd be so much crossover there.
What crossover did you see? What were they listening to?
There was a lot of Taylor Swift.
Okay.
She made a lot of fives.
So it's funny. I guess my sister, I almost said it in a weird way. I don't know why.
What's the weird way you would say that?
Larry, the cable guy, who you love, I know that. He says sister, and I don't know why. I caught myself.
You mean Dan Whitney?
My sister. So my sister
right there. That's funny right there.
Her and her husband, I think, occasionally will use Spotify or whatever. So I found myself. I'm going, who in the hell is this guy? There was. Like, my top 10 songs and 10 people were all frozen. Idina Menzel
For the president.
You know, yeah, exactly. All she listens to is Let It Go and all this stuff. But there's, like, a guy I've never heard of, and it's saying I've listened to him all the time, and we're racking our brain, like, who is this person?
Who is that?
So I'm Googling, I'm finding all these other results for the same name.
Turns out my sister was stealing my Spotify account. That's funny right there.
This is not like a lawyer, right, in like Texas. I'm like, who is this guy? So he was the composer of the Bridgerton soundtrack.
Oh.
And I guess...
Oh, dear.
My sister listens to Bridgerton. Everyone loves, like... You know what the Bridgerton soundtrack was? It was a bunch of current music done in, like, an old piano-y way.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm describing that correctly.
No, they turned hits into orchestral?
Yes.
Is that the word I'm looking for?
And it was the rage. Like, everyone over-talked about the soundtrack.
You know why they talked about it? The lead actor's hot. Like, that dude is a dreamboat.
Wow.
That's why they talked about it. Everything else about that show was dumber than dirt. But they
you hated that show?
Oh, it was so stupid.
But I thought that show was good.
But that guy's a dreamboat. So all of a sudden everyone pretends that it's good. That guy's hot. That was the show.
You didn't, but you 1 to 10, what'd you give that show?
4.
Oh, come on.
No, it's not a tough guy bit.
It's like, a tough guy.
It's not because it's like romance or Victorian. It was a little bit over the top.
You got a little bit steamed up though.
For Daphne Bridgerton and that
just for them
doing
in
the bones?
General, the couple, yeah. There was a lot of
Will they, won't they, will they, won't they? It's because I'm too in love with you. All right, settle down. I promised my father I'd never marry because I despise it. It's just so much. The show was that dude was hot. That's the show. Let's not pretend it's something else.
I think you got a little steamed up.
For him?
No, for them. For the couple.
No, because Daphne Bridgerton was, she's fine. To me, like, okay.
Did you watch with the wife?
Yeah.
She got a little steamed up.
Oh, she loved the show somehow.
Yeah.
Wonder why she liked it so much. Looking at me like you absolute worthless goon. Look at you over there with the couch imprint. Your fat sweatpant butt. You stink. That guy's gorgeous. Why can't you be that guy?
Really dressed up to watch that show. Do you guys think Washington beats Vegas on Sunday? I'm actually flying out today. I'm leaving at 4. Danny, you're cruising to the finish line in the show today.
Oh, yeah.
Solo.
We're going to do so much fun stuff when you're gone, dude.
That's going to be
we have a party in here.
I'm going to miss it. I'm going to National Airport. We got a huge show today, though. John Carlson's going to be on at 4:40. Logan Thomas of the Washington football team at 5 o'clock. You got to hear what Logan Thomas has to say about Taylor Heinicke and the rest of the tight end room filling in when he was out. It's going to be a good show, but let's start with our first feel on the Raiders matchup. This Sunday, it is a big one on the road in Vegas. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
You would like to think this is the time to get hot, right? You know, we sure have done it the opposite, you know, in years past. Hopefully this is the time that we can, you know, really hit the ground running and get hot at the right time. You know, my brother, who, you know, I love to death, obviously, he's always encouraging me. And he, you know, when we were on our rough patch right before the Dallas game, he said, just so you know, this was our record before we won the Super Bowl and we got hot at the right time and, you know, that kind of stuff. And it just gives you like, I believe that too, you know. So we got a big one this week, you know. If we don't take care of business today in the meetings, don't take care of business tomorrow at practice and all through this week, then Washington's going to come in here and beat us. And we don't want that. So we got to be focused, locked in, and bring it on Sunday.
That's Derek Carr, who's very sneaky. Texas draw. We're going to go out there and we're going to play him how we play him. We're going to do what we do.
It's Oakland Raiders football.
He does not look like he sounds at all.
No. Because he's got that sort of Texas side mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like when you're talking normal to a person, like, I'm shooting my words right at your nose.
Yeah.
Right?
He's shooting them off to the... They're missing me.
And when I do from Texas, man, it makes you throw a curveball at you. Like a sidewinding curveball. You know what I mean? It's going out.
But it sounds
it's get
cooler
there.
When he says it than
course,
when I say it.
Of course it does.
That's it might be part of why I love all of his interviews.
He's like, shoot. We're going to have to play good football, man. Shoot.
Right. You could either say, it's been a struggle lately, or... It's been a struggle lately, man.
I mean, it's been tough, hasn't it? I mean, they're going to come in here kick our butts if we're not ready for it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like...
Right now, you're at 11.
I'm doing it up.
He's at a 6. Come back a little bit.
I got to tone down some for you. Really? Nah, that's still high.
That's an 8.
I mean, shoot. If we don't play our game, they're going to... No, that was bigger. I can't get it. It's close. I'm hovering around.
You're a high school football
coach. I'm doing Friday Night Lights.
Here's what you're doing. You're doing, hey, everybody get in here, hey.
You understand me?
Everybody touch somebody right now. Touch somebody. Look into the eyes of the man next to you right now.
I want you to see his heartbeat.
You think tonight's just a night?
Mm-mm.
Tonight is not just a night, boys. Tonight is the rest of your life. That's what you're doing. You're doing that bit. You're like, tonight's not about 48 minutes. It's about 60 long years.
I want you to look in my mouth. I'm chewing on nothing, all right? Right here, right now, tonight, your soul, your heart, your love for each other. Y'all been through it. They didn't practice at 5 o'clock in the morning. Y'all did.
You go ask Coach Bo how often he thinks about tonight. He still wishes he caught that ball against Lanham.
Every single day I think of it. Every single day when I get up in the morning.
Right. That's the whole thing right there. So Derek Carr is, that's the big leagues.
Right.
Derek
Carr's got his accent shamed out of him a little bit. Because he's on the West Coast.
Yeah.
They don't take kindly to it.
He's in Double-A.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit, it's kind of like this. It's right here.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know.
That's the level. That's the slider we talked about yesterday,
exactly.
The fader.
And he does a head tilt. He's like,
shoot.
He ran across her. Okay. And I didn't have much time, but I had enough. And I want to give him the ball. I want to let my guy have a shot. I want to make him make a play. It's like something like that.
That's my quarterback right there. You guys ready to run
Derek
routes
Carr?
For GP?
There you go. But when he talks about stuff, so do you remember the game-winning walk-off touchdown to Zay Jones? I think it was in overtime. Did they beat
against Baltimore?
Was it Baltimore
yeah.
or Kansas City? Baltimore?
Baltimore.
He had this answer of where he's like, I just feel so good for him. He's in at 6 in the morning, every morning. I'm just happy for that guy. He outworks everybody. And if it was just a guy saying it in a normal way, it wouldn't have hit the way it hit. But because he said it, at like Odessa High School?
That's right.
It just felt better.
It's
I don't know.
They're playing West Permian this week.
I'm a Derek Carr guy. I like him. But he doesn't have Darren Waller this week, Daniel. First feel on Washington and Vegas. That is the question on G&D at 800-636-1067. We got to appreciate Linnell's update. He's got another one coming at 3 o'clock. And then throughout the show today, here's your lineup. It's pretty strong. Logan Paulson,
mm-hmm.
California guy, not a Texas draw. 3:40, we're playing a game to embarrass me for Caps tickets.
Does Grant know the band? Most of the time he doesn't, but sometimes he does.
Speaking of the Caps, John Carlson joins us at 4:40. We'll ask him about that horrendous period they just played to lose a game in Florida. And at 5 o'clock, Logan Thomas of the Washington football team. Well, if you haven't heard him before, he's a great interview. Make sure you're tuned in about 2.5 hours, right at 5 for the stretch run of the show. What is your gut feel, your first thought on the matchup with the Raiders?
The question is, did they get right, or was that a one weird game against Dallas this past week? Because their previous three that they lost, they were bad. They were missing Ruggs terribly. They couldn't go deep. They just looked like this very pedestrian, bad offense. Looked like they were just out of sync. Defensively, they were on the field for too much, just giving up stuff. The Chiefs destroyed them. The Bengals ran all over them, just bullied them around. They got right offensively, at least, against Dallas. Okay, well over 500 yards, plus another 100-plus yards in penalties. 600 yards from when the ball started to the ball ended. They scored 36 points in an overtime W. DeSean Jackson got deep, was able to score a touchdown to kind of kick scoring off. Did they get right, or is that kind of a mirage? To me, the truth is probably somewhere in between. I don't trust them night in, night out to play well, but I trust them to maybe be good enough to give Washington fits. Hunter Renfro is excellent. Operating, you know.
Is he excellent?
I think he's an excellent slot receiver. Like that. Okay. That is the prototype to me of what I look for. You line him up in 17 different places. It's just a little bit of wiggle. Never the first guy doesn't bring him down. It always takes a couple people to sort of surround him. Then he goes down yards after the catch. I think he's an excellent slot receiver.
No, I think that makes sense. I was kind of thinking receiver in general, but he is really good at his position. He reminds me of. Do you remember when Danny Amendola caught? I think it was 14 passes against Washington. It was a game I covered in St. Louis when they were still the Rams. So it must have been 12 or 13-ish. But they went to St. Louis like every year at that point for three or four straight years at the old Edward Jones Dome. Amendola caught 14 balls against them. But it was that role that you're talking about. It was like a lot of little choice routes and stick routes. And he's running 4, 6, 7 yards at a time and then scurrying after the catch. He's very good at that. That's true. But without Waller, a lot of their prolific offense goes away. A lot of the chunks they might be able to create. Not just because Waller did that in the middle of the field, and he's Logan Thomas plus, right? He is, I would say if you're ranking tight ends in the league, he might be the best. But if he's not, if it's, let's say, Kelce or Kittle.
He's like second or third.
He's right there.
He's excellent.
And no one has his skill set. To me, he has the most lethal and unique, difficult to defend collection of skills since Aaron Hernandez.
He's Jordan Reed to me. I mean, that's he's a clone. It's just in terms of what he runs faster than you think, catches everything near him, great route runner, breaks you down. If you're smaller than he is, you get boxed out. If you're bigger than he is, he runs past you. He is as tough a cover as there is.
A little better than Reed was. I think it's like the best version.
The best
of Reed.
Version of Jordan Reed. I think that's a fair assessment.
But without him,
so they don't have him.
And we're not positive. I don't think they've definitively ruled him out that I've seen. But it looked like a pretty serious injury, and he was listed at week to week, so they're playing it close to the vest. I just have to imagine he's not there. And as you said, they went out and brought in DeSean Jackson, who's had one productive game. It was this past week, 3 catches for 100 yards, because they were getting nothing out of their receivers post the Henry Ruggs tragedy.
They were just so limited. Everything was close to line of scrimmage. Everyone knew. There was nothing going over the top. So DeSean Jackson does what DeSean Jackson does. He's going to torch a team for a couple different weeks. Then he's going to do a weird befuddling thing where he catches the ball deep and like doesn't go into the end zone quickly or fumbles or runs a punt backwards or something super annoying. But if you happen to catch him on one of those games where he just behaves normally and runs deep and catches balls, he can be a threat. Just ask Dallas this past week. So they're dangerous, man. On the other side of the ball, Max Crosby, he's got 5 sacks. That doesn't tell the story. That dude is a demon. He is second in the league in quarterback hits. He is a disruptive, relentless, constant pain in the butt. This is as tough a challenge as the Washington's bookend tackles have had in terms of dealing with a pass rusher. I really believe that.
PFF counts every counting statistic on defense. They do it differently and have a different number than, say, you'd find on Pro Football Reference or whatever. I like their counting stats more than their grades. The grades are fine, too, but I believe in like watching the game like these folks do, and then they're able to see, okay, was that a pressure, sack, a hit, a hurry, whatever. Max Crosby is on pace to break the record for pressures in a season. PFF's been doing this for years. Now, I know they're playing one more game. So if you take that game out, he would finish, I think it's third all time.
Oh, so what a bum he is.
In pressures.
Now, Yannick Ngakoue is opposite him, has more sacks.
Right.
Crosby is an absolute monster on the field.
They have him at 71 pressures right now this season. Number 2 in the NFL is Myles Garrett, who's got double-digit sacks for the Browns. I think he's closing in on like 16 sacks or whatever. He's got 59 pressures.
Wow.
You're talking about 12 fewer. I mean, there are a total of like 8 guys in the league with over 50 pressures. Crosby's got 71. He has been an absolute assassin. There was a play from last week's game against Dallas where he couldn't get around, I guess, the right tackle. So he, and I mean this quite literally, lifts him up off of the ground and just proceeds to drive him backwards on skates into the lap of Dak Prescott. And on the play, it was just, on the box score, it goes down as an incompletion. He didn't hit the quarterback. He didn't sack the quarterback. Dak Prescott just has to throw the ball earlier than he wants to and not accurate. You've seen this with John Allen, who does it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He just shoved the guy right into his face mask as he's trying to throw a football. He's done it all year long. In hurries, according to PFF, he has 8 more than Shaquille Barrett, who's number 2, Kenny Clark, who's number 3. John Allen, by the way, is pretty high on that list. We've talked a lot about what a year he's having. But John Allen, just as an example, has hurried the quarterback 27 times this year. Max Crosby's done it 49 times. Just to give you a little perspective,
he's a badass
on the type of season that dude, and he's got 2 X's in his name, which feels like it's just harder to block.
Like, oh, okay.
The extra X makes it harder to block.
I'm like a little intimidated by that. I wish there was just 1 X. Max is a pretty powerful name as it is, but like double X on the Max?
I think they're going to be able to move the ball. I think they'll score in the low to mid-20s. I think 23, 24 points, something like that. I wonder about the kicking situation because I don't know anything about Brian Johnson other than what I can see on his Wikipedia page. I hope he can make his kicks, make his extra points. He missed 3 of them in just a handful of opportunities this year with the Saints. He made all 8 of his kicks, but 7 of them were inside of 40 yards. So that's going to be a key. Remember, when they had a bad kicking situation earlier, it might have cost them a game. That Denver game,
yeah,
with Joey Sly, with even Hopkins, who people don't like, anything other than the Chris Blewitt experience, you might have won that game in Denver. Very possibly. So there's not much margin for error here. My question is about this defense against the Raiders passing attack, a defense that has shut passing games down largely over the last few weeks. The Raiders are the number 2 passing team in the league, 297 yards a game, 7.9 yards per play, both ranked 2nd. They're the number 4 offense despite the fact that they're 28th running the ball. That tells you everything you need to know. They can sling it, and I think without Waller, they come way back to the pack. Maybe it's a chance for Washington to continue its strides and its run on that side of the ball.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs is good, physical. He's very, usually script dependent. If they're winning, he salts the game away. If they're not, they throw it to Kenyon Drake a little bit more. But to me, if you limit the DeSean Jackson back-breaking big plays, keep them in front, I like this defense's chances.
What do you guys think about this matchup? You close your eyes, you think about Sunday in Vegas. You're indoors, by the way. Never easy to go play indoors on the road. Is Atlanta the only time that's happened so far this season for them? Because I think a road game in and of itself is difficult, but then you add in the elements of being indoors and it's loud, and that gets real hard real fast. And the Falcons don't have much of a home field advantage at this point. And in fact, that day, it was a lot of Washington football team fans.
Yeah, Green Bay, Denver, Carolina, Buffalo, all on the road, all outdoors.
So and
there you go.
I would say the worst 2 atmospheres they've played in were Green Bay and Buffalo. And neither of those games went well. They handled Lambeau Field okay. Buffalo was not.
No, it's not okay. Well. No.
But have you seen enough of Allegiant? I know it's raucous and it's awesome inside, but do they have a really good home field advantage? Because that's still, I would think, a let's go see a
destination
show.
Kind of
like,
a deal.
Let's
yeah.
go to the Raiders game.
It seems that way. I mean, I remember that place being badass. Now, granted, it was the opening night against the Ravens, but I remember it being pandemonium.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I'm wondering the last couple of weeks what it's
great question.
Like. I do think there's going to be a ton of Washington football team fans out there. Speaking of which, hit me up at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter or at Grant H. Paulson on Instagram. We'll try to do something, link up with some G&D listeners at some point while we're out in Vegas this weekend. What do you guys think is going to happen? That is the question, 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. Next, right here on The Fan. Vegas will be the scene this weekend of a must-have game for Washington. They're trying to run their winning streak to 4 in a row. We're getting your first feel. Gambit DC listener lines available to you, 800-636-1067. Jacob is in Waldorf. Jacob, we were just talking about the atmosphere in Vegas. You don't think it'll be the home field advantage indoors loud that you would normally have to worry about? Why not?
First things first, I just want to say I love the way you guys cover your sports team. And as a Raiders fan, it's great to hear you guys talk about my team a little bit. I love it.
I appreciate you.
Got it, dude.
I do not think it's going to be nearly the same as it was like in Oakland, for one. Vegas is like a traveling place for other teams. When we played the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, I couldn't believe the amount of red I saw in that stadium. You know, everyone, it's really easy just to go to Vegas and have a weekend and say, hey, let's go catch the game too. So I don't think that the atmosphere is going to be nearly the same. Without Waller, yes, that's going to be a real big problem for us. But keep an eye on Foster Moreau. He's a very good backup tight end. If they can get him involved, I like our chances with the way the ball's moving.
Yeah, so we were just talking with CK about Foster Moreau, our program director. And I think he's good. I think he's like a solid, normal tight end who can do normal tight end things at a decent level. Probably should start. I mean, there's not 32 tight ends in the league better than Foster Moreau. You just lost a unicorn, though. I mean, you lost a guy that if I'm Jack Del Rio, lost sleep about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's just a different thing.
Yeah, it doesn't mean Moreau can't hurt you. I mean, you guys know the history of tight ends playing against Washington. I don't have to tell you about that over the last decade plus. But Darren Waller does that to everybody. Darren Waller cannot be covered. You can't stop Darren Waller. You can hope that they look somewhere else. You can do your best. But if it's just one of those days where Darren Waller is going to go for 100 and on 10 catches, you're just going to have to eat that. But again, this is not to imply that Oakland's offense is inept without Darren Waller. It's just going to be different. To me, this is about not letting anything easy happen and you make a team execute the whole way down. They're one of the most penalized teams in the sport. Just seems to be no matter who the coach is, no matter who the GM is, no matter who the quarterback is, they're always among the league leader in penalties. It's sort of an Al Davis and the Davis family tradition. So they'll self-sabotage a little bit. If you make them accountable, if you make them just sort of chip away down the field, this isn't Tom Brady and the Patriots of 4 or 5 years ago. They'll self-destruct a little bit. You could stop them.
Foster Moreau does not get a whole lot of chances as a tight end too, but he caught one pass for 3 yards on 5 targets against Dallas, and Waller was out for much of that game. Mm-hmm. He caught one pass for 19 yards a week before that against the Bengals and 2 targets. Didn't have a catch or a target in the 2 games before that against the Chiefs and the Giants. There's basically been one game where he was ultra productive, and that was a win over the Eagles, 33-22, where he had 6 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. He has been a red zone threat, has a 19-yard touchdown on the year, caught a touchdown against Philly, and then caught a touchdown, I think, for 17 or so yards against the Steelers early in the season. But we're talking about 12 catches in 11 games. Now, his role is about to increase, and I do think, like a lot of the tight ends they've got to deal with, you know, Dallas Goedert or Zach Ertz or whatever, he can go out and catch 6 or 7 balls. Just know, if Waller doesn't play, I view that as a massive relief. I look at it almost like an offense in basketball that goes through a big man in the block. You feed the ball down to Shaq, and then he either backs a guy down or tries to go to the rim. Or
everybody turns around to look at him, and he
throws the ball back out, right? Mm-hmm. Almost everything they do in their passing game is off Waller. So I just think they're going to make adjustments. Derek Carr is still going to be pretty efficient, I would assume. He's had a couple of clunkers this season. He's good a couple times a year for those games that make you pull your hair out, but he's played really, really well. And to your point, take Waller out. They still, short at wide receiver, can move the football. I think they might run the ball a little bit more than people think this week. And Washington has been great against the run.
I would love for them to try to do that, by the way.
Well, the Raiders have been awful at it.
Yeah, I invite you to run it a lot. Really try to establish it.
28th in yards per play, but it just wouldn't surprise me if early on they try to soften the football team up that way for Derek Carr to take some shots over the top. But I'm with you. That would play kind of into Washington's strengths, I would think. But I like the matchup. I think it's a final possession game. I might pick the Raiders, honestly, because you're on the road. It's going to be really loud, and I don't know enough about your kicking situation. Does the kid you just signed, Brian Johnson, make a 44-yarder at the horn if you need him to? I don't feel great about that.
You feel comfortable there?
Logan Paulson joins us next. We'll get his thoughts, his picks for the game on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.